Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are...
Hi, I'm Stephen Scott.
I'm Sean Preece.
And I'm Tim Schwartz.
Welcome along to another technology show. This is Tech Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely to have you here. I am Stephen Scott. He is Sean Preece.
I am, and I am hot. It is so hot. It's unbelievable.
But only in the biblical sense, of course. Also, we've got Tim Schwartz with us.
What?
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen, I think. Boy, I seem to say that a lot lately. Anyway, yeah. Hello, guys. It is hot here as well.
It is boiling. It is ridiculous. What is going on? This is climate change.
I quite like it, to be fair.
Well, I wish it would stop.
Well, it's only going to get worse. I fear that we are in this position now where, you know, the weather that we've seen in the movies like 2012, you know, San Andreas, you know, it's all happening. Don't go outside.
You see, you say that jokingly, but honestly, I do get, because, and now we're running out of CO2, is it? I mean, you know, I can't get sausages. What's going on there? What's that got to do with CO2? Anyway, let's not get into
Hang on. You can't get sausages. I didn't hear this story. Have I missed something?
Well, it was about the loss of food, so of course Sean knew about it.
I've been following this very carefully. I'm stocking up in case. It's like the zombie apocalypse out here.
The sausage apocalypse. That would be your apocalypse, wouldn't it? It would be the end of sausages. That would be it for you.
It's a big deal. That's all I'm saying. Let's love each other and love the planet.
Love the planet, love sausages. That's our motto of the day. Right, so this is a technology show. Hello.
Are we sure?
I have no idea. It feels like the weekly cooking hour when we start off.
Between Sean's sausages, lamb chops, whatever other food of the week he's having. Yeah.
How many lamb chops to date from your local Indian?
So far, I'm up to 94 lamb chops.
Well done. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, I'm impressed. Sure. Well, I think you're slowing down a bit, Sean.
I have. Yeah. I've only had 2 lots this week. I'm going for a world record, but that's it. No more now. I'm going to get fit.
Yeah, you said that 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago.
Anyway, on with the tech.
Yeah, so this is Tech Talk. Let's do it. But before all that, look, I know this is a technology show, and we do talk about technology occasionally, but I thought we should bring up one thing that I wanted to mention, and that is our very own Tim Schwartz.
Uh-oh.
Tim, I believe it was a special day for you at the weekend.
You could call it a special day. For me, it's just, you know, a midlife crisis in the works and stressful and horrible. No, actually, it's not bad. I turned 40 on Sunday.
Well done
for staying alive so long.
Yeah, I'm impressed with myself. I've made it this far.
Well, you know, as you know, here at Tech Talk, we have jingles for everything. So it would be fitting for me not to play this for you.
Happy birthday to you. You belong in a zoo with the monkeys and tigers. They look just like you.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. At least it's got the monkeys part right this morning. Thank you.
If someone said to me, you look like a tiger, I'd be quite happy about that.
Yeah, I would take that, sure. Thank you, guys.
Anyway, I thought we'd do some tech while we're here. This week, I wanted to pick up on, a couple of things, actually. First of all, an email from last week, which possibly is one of my most favourite emails we've ever had to this program, honestly. And it comes from Graham Ross, who got in touch with us, and he decided to tell us what he thought of last week's show in a single line. He said, and I quote here, completely bored with this hour of Tech Talk.
Was that it?
That was it.
Well done. Wow. Straight to the point, I got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got to say well done to you for that, because you didn't mince your words. You got straight to the point. And for that, we say this.
You're our favourite listener, and we mean it.
Yes, you are our favourite listener. Graham Ross, thank you so much for the email.
Thank you, Graham.
And listen, you know, this is the thing. Not everything we do will appeal to everybody. You can't please any of the people any of the time. Is that the phrase? it was a very specific show, I will say, but I thought it was quite interesting last week talking about the whole gaming thing and kind of getting into the subject, especially around the Echo. Because I must admit, for the first half of the show, I thought, this is a geek fest. But, you know, when we get into talking about the Echo and how we can use that kind of technology to play games, I was quite excited.
Yeah, well, you know, it's something that needs to be covered. People are interested. Of course, you know, you're not going to hit the spot every time with everyone. But, I am interested in games. And as he was there at E3, and especially the accessibility panel aspect of it, I thought it was good.
Yeah, gaming is such a niche part of technology. It can make it pretty boring for somebody who's not interested in games. I'm sure that people that are Android users when we're covering WWDC are probably just as bored. So yeah. It's going to happen, unfortunately, from time to time. But I think it was a good conversation to have. And I'm sorry that Graham was bored. But I think there were some good nuggets in there for people who might be interested in games.
I wanted to read that email out because, you know, I know there are shows out there that don't read emails like that. They would say, I'm not reading that email because that's negative. I think that's truth, that's real, and Graham felt that, and you know what? I respect that. I respect you saying it, because, you know, I'd rather you told us the truth. That's what it's about here.
Absolutely. Take the good with the bad.
Absolutely. You know, we read out enough praise. We should read out the bad stuff as well.
I totally disagree. I only want the positive emails.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, fine.
Well, you can't nurture your ego all the time, Sean.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Not?
Yeah. Well, we are going to look at some other stories this week. We've got lots of news to get through. Also, Julie Roddaway's back. Yes, Julie Roddaway got in touch with us. You might remember Julie, who became a bit of a Braille correspondent for us, I suppose, because she's so up on Braille. But one thing she talked about recently on the show, I say recently, it was a few months back, was a portable charger. You know, you get these phone chargers now. You can pick them up anywhere. In fact, in some cases, they give them away for nothing. And they're really good, but the problem is that none of the information on them is accessible. So you've got no idea if the thing's got any charge in it until you plug it into your phone, really, and you don't know how much is left. So it's a difficult thing to work with. Well, Julie had mentioned to us a while back about a talking version. That actually disappeared recently. I remember that had gone completely. But she's been on the hunt for another one because she loves them, and she's found one. So she's going to share that information with us a little bit later. But first, before all of that, I have an apology to make.
We are sorry.
Oh, so sorry.
Very sorry.
We are sorry.
We'll never do it again.
Now, I know it says we'll never do this again. but actually, this is me. So what happened was, you might remember that over the past few weeks, I've been talking about Chromebook. And we had a conversation with Sharon Lyons, who came in to talk about Chromebooks and what they were like and what her thoughts were on them. And I had said, you know, basically, at this point in life, I'm not massively impressed by them. And I got some heat for it. I think that's fair to say. Some well-deserved heat, actually, because I decided after the amount of heat I was subjected to for my comments, I thought, right, do you know what? I'm going to give this a try. So, I'm a very cheap person, as you know.
Got okay, no argument from us.
That. Sorry, yeah.
Silence.
Yeah, I was just waiting for the fight back on that one. Right, fine. But a very cheap person. So, I decided instead of going out to buy a Chromebook, because that's very simple and easy to do, I decided instead to build my own.
DIY Stephen.
I didn't sort of pull apart an old MacBook, rip it to shreds, and shame it into being something else. But what you can do is you can actually download legally. It's perfectly legal to do. In fact, Google, who make Chromebooks, encourage this. You can actually download a version of the operating system, and you can put it on any computer. You can do it a couple of ways. You can actually download the software and have it run. It's very simple to do. Even I could do it. That was what was impressive to me. Because normally these things get quite complicated, and if it involves lines of code, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
But this was quite simple. It was basically just creating taking a USB stick and then turning it into a kind of installer, if you like. And you can plug it into a computer and use it as a boot drive. So you can actually go straight into Chrome using your USB stick. And if you wanted to, you could install it on your main system. Now, I have an old Mac Mini, about 2011 model. not the fastest machine anymore. It's kind of lost its appeal because it's just not doing well. It doesn't handle the new operating system very well. High Sierra at the moment just can't run, maybe with a few upgrades or whatever, but I'm not putting the money into it. It's too old.
Yeah.
So I decided what I'll do instead is maybe put Chrome on this. And that's what I did. And it works incredibly. Now, two things. When you start up a Windows PC from the very first, from the get-go, you can turn on Narrator to get you through the setup process, and that's really good. And I think since Windows 10's come along, and you guys are probably a bit more on this than I am, because you did it before me, I think Narrator's picked up a little bit, especially for that process. Am I right?
Yeah, for the installation and the setup of Windows, it's fine.
Yeah, I'd say it's coming along.
Well, Chrome has exactly the same feature. You can actually turn on ChromeVox, which is their screen reader, and you can do the entire setup process. So, just to sort of walk you through that, you go through the setup process essentially by signing into your Google account. There isn't much setup required, if I'm honest, because it's not like Windows. It doesn't have to install loads of stuff. It's just a browser with a bit of a menu system. So you don't really need to do very much other than sign in and select some preferences. But that process, the operating system is really, really simple. It's a very basic looking operating system, and I always get in trouble for saying things like that, but it is, and actually it's in a really good way. It's all just laid out in a big list, so you don't have lots of different things going on all over the place, menus popping up everywhere. You just have a very simple system, and that means with accessibility it's even easier and quicker to use. Now, when you buy a Chromebook these days, and this is I think I've tried this out just the right time, I think the version of the operating system we're on now is 66. I don't really know what that number means, if I'm honest. But
root.
Is that right?
Yeah. Root 66. I have no idea.
No, you're just making stuff up, right? Okay. Hashtag fake news. But the thing about it is that you can actually, you now get ChromeVox Next, which is like a new version of ChromeVox. They had ChromeVox, what they now call Classic, which was involved more keys to be pressed on the screen, a bit like you have to do with the Mac. The Mac, as you know, you have to use a couple of keys for a modifier, control and option. Then you can select like your VO key, you know, that is your VO key essentially, control and an option, and then you can press like O or M or D to get to the dock or the menu or whatever. Well, it's the same with ChromeVox Classic, but with Next, what they do is they used a modifier key, which is the key that essentially controls, gives you the sort of commands to operate ChromeVox. You hold down what on most machines is the caps lock key. On a Chromebox, on a Chromebook, it's the search key. That's what it's called. And that is your key. So you hold that down and you can press the. So, for example, if you're on a website and you wanted to go to a heading, you would press the search key, hold that down, and press H, and it would take you to a heading. Now, when I spoke before about this, I said to you that it was a system that you got a lot of button, button, button. I am actually going to stand by that comment, because I was using ChromeVox Classic. And what I learned about ChromeVox Classic in the past week, and in fact 2 weeks actually I've been using it, is that ChromeVox Classic was never really built to use the operating system of the Chromebook.
That's right.
It was built to use the browser. So if you were in the browser, it was fine. You could get around, it was navigable, it was brilliant. But if you were actually trying to use the menu, that was difficult. It just wasn't really built for that. ChromeVox Next, however, has sorted that, which means that you now have access to the entire system. You would argue that that should have been in place at first, but you know what? It's there now. That's all that matters. So I have to say, having spent some time with it, now using a single modifier key in the same way with JAWS or NVDA, you might use the insert key, made a big difference. They've cut back on a lot of the additional commands, like before, for example. If you want to go to the next heading, you would press your control key and then your modifier keys, and then your N and H would take you to the next heading. But now, you just press search and H, jump through the headings, like you would with JAWS, NVDA, or anything else. So I think they have worked a lot more closely to align with other screen readers, but put their own spin on it. And I have to say, so far, I've been very impressed. Not just by the screen reader. I mean, the screen reader is very good, actually. It's responsive. It's fast. It never misses a beat when you're typing. But I would say the machine itself is much quicker. So if I was serious of thinking of buying one of these, and I am now, then I would be. I would definitely be thinking this is something not only I can buy, but I can use. Whereas before, I wouldn't have been able to. So that's my turnaround on Chromebooks.
Wow. Well, I think, to be honest, it was so difficult to find anyone that had used the ChromeVox screen reader on a Chromebook. We did try and find people, but most people that were using them that we spoke to were only using the, you know, maybe magnification. They had enough vision not to need a screen reader. And like you, Stephen, when I tried ChromeVox, I tried it as an extension on the browser, on the Chrome browser. And it was just very, I don't know, it just wasn't fully cooked yet. It wasn't ready. It was probably at the same level as Narrator. And I've tried the new one as well. And I've got to say, like you, I was impressed. I think it's really moved on. It was nice and responsive. That's something I did notice as well. And the feature list was good. There's lots of shortcuts in there. Of course, it feels a little bit clunky still because I'm not familiar with those keystrokes. But, you know, give it time and it will feel just like using any other. So I must agree. And I don't like saying that because I don't like agreeing with you. But yeah, I was quite impressed. And I've been a little bit harsh on the original ChromeVox as well. But I think it really has moved on and it is an option.
It is definitely an option and a viable option at this point because you guys are right. It does take some getting used to if you're someone who's used to another screener like JAWS or NVDA. But once you learn those commands that they've implemented, it does make it useful. And like I said, it does make it a viable option now for the blind and visually impaired to say, you know what, I can get a Chromebook and out of the box, I can use it. And that's ultimately one of our favorite things to say is accessible out of the box. So yeah, I think they've done a really good job with this. Like you guys said before, it wasn't the best, but they really have put some good work into this. So hopefully this will only get better and better, just like we're hoping that Narrator will get better and better going forward, and we'll have a lot of mainstream options.
Well, we actually talked a bit about Narrator last week, didn't we? We talked about some of the upcoming changes, which yep. You know, Sean was very quick to poo-poo. I think they are actually pretty impressive changes. I think that it will help people. I'm thinking about people here who don't have ready access to JAWS because of financial constraints. And I know during the Sight Village season, there are reductions in JAWS at the moment, which is good. And that's something you should definitely check out. Search for Sight and Sound Technology and get in touch with them, because this is the time, if you can afford it. I think it's like 115 quid or something, or it's thereabouts. But check with them. It's a lot less than it is any other time of the year, which raises questions, that's all I'm saying.
It's a special promotion, Stephen, that's all. It doesn't raise any questions.
It's quite a promotion. I mean, it's quite a drop from, what, 600-700 quid?
It is. If it was that price constantly, I think everyone would have it.
I agree. But I think there are some people, though, who want to dabble or try, and being able to just switch it on from the machine you already have makes a big difference. And for that reason, I want to mention this. So if you've got a desire for this, and this is what I really like about Google, actually, what they've done with this, because unwittingly, perhaps, I don't know, but they've actually given the Chrome browser on your existing computer, be it Mac or PC, the same opportunity to use that screen reader. So if you're thinking, right, what Stephen says is interesting, maybe I should look into this. Well, you probably don't want to just plonk your money down and say, I'll have that, please, now, because you haven't tried it. You haven't had that experience. But what if I told you, I sound like a salesman, I don't know. What if I told you that you could get this in the comfort of your own home without doing a thing? Well, you can, actually, because you can download the Chrome browser. You might need some help if you are struggling to see it, to get the browser on, and then install the ChromeVox extension. And that's dead easy, by the way. Just Google ChromeVox extension for Chrome, and it will take you right to the page. There's a button you click on that says Add to, I think it's Add to Chrome, I think it says, and then you just, that's it, it's on, and you can switch it on and off as you desire. Some of the keystrokes are a bit different on it, that's the only thing. They haven't quite aligned them yet, and there are other features that aren't in the browser but are in the Chromebook, but it does give you an example of what it's like, and it doesn't cost you a penny. You don't have to do anything, and you can use it on the very machine you're used to using. If you've got JAWS or NVDA or you're using Narrator, go and get Chrome, download the next browser, ChromeVox Next extension. I think it's just called ChromeVox extension, and try it out and see what you think.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I'm just using, I didn't go through the step of, you know, getting an old computer and installing the, I think it's called Chromium, the actual Google OS, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So I didn't do that. I'm just using it through the browser as an extension. It gives you, like you said, it gives you a little taster of it, and it allows you to learn the keystrokes as well.
It's called Chromium, and it's available through a company called Cloud Ready. It is a paid-for thing, but you don't have, if you're using it for personal purposes, they don't charge. So you can download it for free. And the reason they're doing it is actually so that schools and facilities that want to use Chrome OS can actually download it onto existing computers. Very smart move by Google. You're just making it available, and if people want to use it, it's there. I love that. But it is perfectly legal to do. It won't muck anything up. I will say this, though. If you decide, warning here, if you're a kind of brave person and think, right, I am going to do this, and I'm going to put it on my old whatever, just be aware that if you decide to install it onto the computer, it will wipe anything that's on that machine previous. It will wipe away anything. So my Mac Mini will no longer be a Mac because I've completely overwritten all that, and it is now just a Chrome machine, which is fine. That suits me perfectly, but it's something to be aware of. So, but you can just run it from the USB stick, which is pretty cool as well. And that means you could take it to any computer. That's quite impressive.
Yeah, they have done a lot of good work on this, making sure that it is not only viable for us, but a viable operating system, like you said, Stephen, to be able to, you know, wipe a computer and do that and put it on a USB stick. That they're really, Google is really getting into this game in a good way. It maybe didn't always seem that way, but I think they've really done good work with this.
So that's my rant on Chrome. I'm really pleased to say that I am more than pleasantly surprised by it. Would I put it next to NVDA, JAWS, or Narrator? Where would I sit it on that scale? I'm going to put it next to NVDA.
Wow.
Oh, that's impressive.
I'm going to put it next there. Why not JAWS? Because of the typing thing. I love to type quickly. And it does keep up. Don't get me wrong. It does keep up well. But it's not quite as good as JAWS. I think that's because it doesn't have an eloquence voice.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, I did read somewhere recently, and I don't have the article to hand, but I did read somewhere that you can now get more voices for it. I don't think eloquence is available yet, but if it does become available, then that would be pretty smart, actually. That would be amazing, because I trialed in VDA with eloquence, and I was quite impressed. I was actually quite impressed by it because it just feels like you've installed JAWS. It's like you're cheating JAWS.
People love the eloquence synth.
They do.
They do, yeah. If you're working, if you're at work, that's the one you want, because it's quick, it's reliable, and it seems anyway that it just sort of gets on with the job, whereas any other one seems to just be a bit too bloated and therefore have impact on the system. But no, I'm quite impressed. Anyway, shall we do some news?
We shall.
News from the internet.
Okay, well, a couple of stories to talk about. One is Apple's public beta of iOS 12. Now, this means that you can actually get your hands on the new operating system from Apple for the iPhone and iPad that's coming out in September time. You can actually get it right now by signing up to a public beta. However, everything we're talking about here comes with warnings today. I'd say get it, it's fine, but if you've got a second phone, an old iPhone that you're not using, or an old iPad, as long as it's compatible, then you can download it on there. I would recommend you do that. Don't put it on your main device.
No.
If you've got a phone that you use every day, that you live and swear by, do not download this, because it is a beta, which means it's not finished. There are still problems with it. Like you wouldn't move into a house that wasn't completely built, you know. Be like, well, where's the roof? Well, I haven't put one on yet, and we did tell you. So it's the same thing. Just be careful, all right, because you don't want your laptop to get wet when it rains.
Yeah, that's, okay.
I'm just extending that analogy.
Went well.
Right.
Wow.
It's, so who's put this on? Who's installed this?
I've done it.
Yep, me too.
I would love to, but you can only go back to 5S, and the oldest phone I have, or the other alternative phone I have, is an iPhone 5. So I can't put it on there, and I'm not putting it on my iPhone 7. Unlike Sean, I'm not putting it on my normal everyday phone, Sean.
I know. I have. Going against everyone's advice, I've only got the one device, iPhone 6S, and I've installed the public beta one on there, and I got to say, it's okay. That's it. I'm not going to go overboard. There are bugs in there. So as Stephen said, if you do rely on it, don't install it. There are a few problems I've noticed with making phone calls and accepting phone calls. But other than that, I think it's pretty good for a beta. The performance gains are really good.
Any improvements on VoiceOver?
No, not that I've noticed. There's a couple of extra voices in there, and people have been saying that. I don't actually agree it's extra voices. It's a different accent. I think you've got South African and something else. But as for the important things of VoiceOver, I haven't noticed any features or any improvements there.
Okay.
And if there are going to be any, they probably wouldn't come out until later in the beta cycle anyway.
That's
they're
right.
They're going to try to get rid of as many bugs as they possibly can while implementing all the new features slowly over time. So will there be VoiceOver enhancements or improvements? Maybe, probably, but I think that'll be later on.
Also, the important thing to remember during a beta cycle, when they actually do this, is that there are features that may appear that may disappear.
That's right.
That happens as well. Yep. So you might think, well, this is the most amazing thing ever, and then they just take it away for whatever reason. There are reasons why, and obviously there are tons of people's feedback going into this, and that's partially why they want people to do this. They want everybody to get involved and say, right, you know, tell us what the issues are, tell us what you found. I found a really strange bug when you're trying to use Siri on my phone. The screen would normally go black when you use Siri, but it doesn't anymore. It just seems to kind of put all the text that it's coming up with over the top of what's already there. That'll be annoying for people. Doesn't bother me too much, but it, you know, because I'm listening to it. But that would be quite annoying. So that's something that's maybe wrong. I've got the iPhone 6 Plus, which is just the one down from yours, Sean. And you know, this was the phone I said on the show before was fairly unusable now, especially with VoiceOver.
Yeah.
I was promised 40% or 20-40% speed increase on this. I would say for the general operating system without VoiceOver, yes, totally, 100%. Oh, not 100%, 40% faster.
100%,
40%. 100% faster at 40%. Carol Vorderman sitting over here. But I did notice a speed increase. However, when you turn VoiceOver on, that seems to go down to about maybe 10%, I would say. I don't know. With VoiceOver, it's not great at the moment. Not awful. And certainly not as bad as it was, but...
No, I disagree. I haven't noticed any performance lag.
Well, yours is faster than mine.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It is. It's a different phone.
I'll just go and sit in the corner. No, you've upset me now. Well, yeah, look, you did say that iPhone 6... No. Was it the 6 or the SE you said you found really unusable now due to the performance of it?
The SE was, pretty poor. I haven't installed iOS 12 on that. And I don't know... I can't work out where it sits in the cycle, whether the 6 Plus is older than the SE. I can't work that out.
No, because the SE has the CPU and basically the innards of a 6S, so it should be higher up than the 6 Plus.
So arguably, if I put it on the SE, it should be better.
Yes, especially if you're finding the performance an issue on the SE now with the official iOS 11. So yeah, try it.
I mean, let's be honest, iOS 11 was not their best work in some ways. I mean, it had a lot of bugs and problems.
It was fine. I disagree again. It was fine.
We were getting on
so
well.
Ah, it's all gone wrong. No, I thought it was okay. I've seen a lot worse. iOS 8 springs to mind, but no.
Remember the old 8 days? I couldn't make a call.
Back in my day with iOS 8, it was a nightmare.
We're going to be talking about this in 40 years' time. Remember, you think iOS 42 is bad? Well, you should have tried 8, I tell you. We didn't have texts back then. Oh, dear. Right. There are other stories in the news that I thought we should mention. One is around the... I was nearly going to say her name. The Amazon Echo lady.
Well done.
Amazon have rolled out a notable update for the app featuring her on iOS this week. And with the update, we can now use the virtual assistant directly from our iOS devices to control smart home accessories, ask questions, and much more. So this is actually in the Amazon, and I'll have to say A app, but you know which one I mean.
Alexa.
this is actually featured in there. I know that there was talk of putting it in the Amazon Shop app, but that never seemed to happen. It's featured inside the iOS stock app, if you like. So I think this is good. Are we excited about this? I'm not sure, but are we happy about this?
I don't know if excited is the right word, but I'm pleasantly, happily surprised. I don't know, maybe excited, because I have been using it quite a bit since it popped up on my phone. The first day they announced it, it wasn't there. It took about 24 hours to roll out to my version of the app, but I've been using it a lot and it works really well. It's responsive. It seems to do most, if not everything, that you can do on your actual Echo device. And yeah, it works really nicely. Works with Bluetooth. I was listening through a Bluetooth device the other day and I didn't have any errors or feedback or any kind of problems, you know, with it. So yeah, I guess excitement is maybe the right word. Maybe I've talked myself into it.
Cheer up, Tim. This is great news. I've been using the various Lady A apps that have been out there. Echo, Reverb, that one we featured recently was Ear Command. All these apps now have been just torpedoed totally because of this.
Yep, so I deleted them all.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, yes, it's always nice to have access to the Echo service through your phone. It's always a bonus. Now, the one thing I haven't tried, I haven't really looked at it. Can you use it using the wake word? I'm probably thinking not.
No.
I've not found a way that you can. Everything that it seems to say in there, and even with VoiceOver on, it says press to talk, you know, press a Lady A button to talk. And then it says it again a second time with VoiceOver. And I found that after it says it the second time, that's when you should speak. But no, I don't think that you can actually just speak to it hands-free.
Oh, well, that's a shame. But no, it's a good thing.
Now, you know me, I'm all about saving money. And actually, everything we've talked about so far, you haven't really had to spend any pennies yet because everything you may already have.
We've just built
everything out of today's show. Blue Peter. But what's really interesting is, as we know, Amazon are trying to get Lady A into everything that exists. If it moves, if it talks, if it has a screen on it, she must be there. And but this has now moved forward this week, actually, with a very interesting update just late last week that came out, which I was really interested in. Now, I've got an Amazon Fire tablet. And you might know that, or you might not know, that you can now get Lady A on that. Again, not sure about the wake word thing. Possibly on that?
It does. If it's unlocked or plugged in, I believe you can use the wake
word. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I can't get this update for whatever reason. They're not giving it to me. But this update gives you Lady A on your tablet. Now, wouldn't it be amazing? We've heard of this thing called the Echo Show, and we've heard of the Echo Spot, but wouldn't it be amazing if you could just use your Amazon Fire tablet as such a device? Well, this week, or late last week, I should say, Amazon brought out a new piece of hardware that allows you to do just that. With the Fire HD 8 tablet and the Fire HD 10, they've now released something called Show Mode, which is a feature that turns your Amazon Fire tablet into an Echo Show. As I say, it'll be available from available on the Fire HD 8 and 10 as part of an over-the-air update coming out on the 2nd of July, which of course was yesterday. And once it's enabled, Show Mode will essentially turn your tablet into a portable Echo Show. Now, you can go further than this because, you know, yeah, that's all nice and wonderful, but they're also bringing out Show Mode charging docks for both the Fire HD 10 and 8 that keeps your tablet full up with battery wirelessly, apparently, and automatically enable Show Mode once the tablet is docked.
Wow, hang on. Wirelessly? That can't be. There's not wireless technology in the Amazon Fire HD.
Well, I don't think it is wireless, but what they've suggested is that you can actually do this. The way it works is essentially, it's got magnets in it, so when you drop it into the dock, it kind of connects itself to the dock, and then it connects, however it does it, wirelessly to charge. Not entirely sure how all that works, to be honest. There's no detail yet because it's not out yet.
It just plugs itself in, basically.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
I'm really surprised that they've done this, though. You know, they're cannibalizing their... Why would you buy the Echo Show now if you could get a Fire tablet with virtually the same features?
Why would you buy any Echo device at this point if you can get the tablet that you can wirelessly or hands-free, I should say, use the wake word for Lady A and now get the show? So, I mean, you could just buy a tablet and you've got everything that you need. And if you're okay just hitting a button, you just have your iPhone and get everything you need. So it's interesting. But like Steven said, they're trying to get this technology into everything so that not just Echo device owners can use it, that everybody can use it. And maybe they're hoping that people will say, oh, I can use this on my tablet or my phone. I really like this. I didn't realize how much I like this. I'm going to go out and buy an Echo for my house. I don't know. Maybe that's the strategy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I will say I'm using a Fire HD 8 tablet. I've got it on my bedside table on a stand. Works really well with hands-free Alexa. But there are some limitations I didn't know when this was first released. For example, I can't use Spotify with it. It doesn't support Spotify for some reason. You can't drop in on it, which I use a lot in this house, but it's impossible to drop in on the tablet. So not all the, you know, the Echo device features, if you've got a Dot or an Echo or a Show, then those features are baked in. Whereas on the tablet, on the hands-free software on the tablet, it seems that there are some limitations there that you won't find on a real Echo device.
I think the wait word becomes problematic after a while because, you know, I would actually have, I love drop-in. That's one of my favourite features. And I would just have, I've got so many Echo Dots lying around. I mean, I could start a hockey game in the house, honestly. But, you know, there are so many of these things and I love them just for the drop-in feature. For that alone, it's just worth the money. Because, yeah, you know, I sit in the house and my wife will say to me, look, you know, you have to come downstairs. This is happening or whatever. And I'm like, Yeah. And, you know, screaming up the stairs. And with this now, she can just say, right, this needs to be done or whatever. And I can just get on with it. And it's brilliant.
You can unplug it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not working. Watch it. But this is really, really good. But you're right. The drop-in feature is not available on this. Meh. That was the same with the Sonos One. I remember going out. I was actually going out that day to buy a Sonos One. I decided I was getting one because I thought, I want this. This has been amazing. I was actually probably going to buy two of them so I could pair them up for stereo. I thought, right, this is it. And I was on my way to the shop and I was listening to a review on the way and they said, oh, by the way, the one thing to note is it doesn't do the drop-in feature. And I was like, right, that's it. Off the train, back home, and that was me. I didn't buy it because I thought, I'm not doing this. That's just nonsense. That's a major feature for me. However, I have got a Fire HD 8. I have got these hockey pucks lying around everywhere. So I could do both, but the actual voice thing, the command, sets them both off at the same time. And that creates a bit of a problem. So, you know. Although you can change the name, can't you? You can change the name.
You can change the name. And also, they should only, the one closest to you should only react anyway.
Yeah, but if I've got the tablet sitting next to my Amazon Echo Dot on my bedside table.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. Know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know if that gets confusing.
Anyway, here's the thing. You can get these docks that they're talking about. Shipments expected to start on July 12th. I assume that's across the world, or at least across the UK and America. But we'll certainly keep you up to date with that. So I'm thinking that's quite a good story, actually. I've got the Fire HD 8. I've kind of always wanted the Fire HD 10 because I like the bigger screen. And it's got voice view on it.
I think with the addition of the hands-free Alexa service, it totally makes that tablet, it's just such a bargain, really. I got an app on it called TV Catch Up. I ask Lady A to open the app up and I can swipe through. It tells me what, you know, what program's on what channel, and I can just stream live TV through it. It just works really well.
It's. I suppose the thing with this cannibalization we're talking about is that it gets hard to get excited about new technology because you think, well, it's all right because I've already got something that does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. You know,
this new technology thing, it's like, the docks do sound interesting. I am a bit of a fan of a dock. I love a good dock.
Don't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking for a waterproof, wall-mountable one.
Well, you can get wall-mountable ones. Waterproof. Are you thinking for the shower?
Exactly right.
Oh, I'm thinking, is that not dangerous, though?
No, not if it's waterproof.
It's waterproof.
Yeah.
But it won't hear you if you've covered it up.
Well, okay. It's work in progress.
Yeah. Think that one out, Sean.
You could build me one.
I'll build you one, yeah. Well, you know me. I build anything these days.
I'll trust it.
Now, apparently, as we know, you can load up Amazon Echo with as many skills as you want, the voice-activated ones. But if you can't remember, as I never can, the specific triggers for them, then now the voice assistant, Lady A, will actually help you out. Smoothing out the search process for specific skill commands, and it's rolling out a new beta feature called Can Fulfill Intent Request. That means nothing to us, but basically that's
catchy.
The name of it. Yeah, exactly. Which will then let the developers of skills tell Amazon the kind of questions their tools can answer. So if you can make a vague request from the speaker, then this request feature will then scan all the skills in the database to find a skill most likely to respond appropriately. This is important, because if they get this right, then that moves on to think about the future of browsers, think about the future of anything that requires any kind of search or specific information to be pulled from that device. This gets it right using AI. That's impressive, isn't it?
It is definitely impressive. And so far with this, I've been impressed with how it takes a couple of words and says, you know, this is a skill that you might want to try, or here's, I don't remember if it gave you an option of different skills or if it just suggests one. I don't remember the last time I did it, but it does give you a suggestion, and usually it's relevant, if not the exact thing that I wanted. So I am impressed with how they've been able to implement this, and I hope it only gets better, because it could be a big deal, like you said, Stephen, for searching the internet, browsing different things, getting additional information. That they've got to get this right, because this could be so helpful. You may not ever have to go into the app again if you can do things like this just verbally.
That's the thing, isn't it? That it needs so much work. The skills section is, I just find it confusing. I always look through the new releases in the skills section, and if there's a company that flood it, I mean, last time I had a look, some company had just put in every national anthem in there. And there was hundreds. There must have been hundreds. And it just, you know, it totally ruins trying to find anything interesting if you're not into national anthems, that is. So, yeah, the skills definitely need some work. It needs some tidying up as well. I think they need to be a little bit more strict on what actually goes in there.
Well, that's some of our news stories this week. We will get more on next week. But for now, I want to bring in Julie Rodaway, because Julie sent us in a recording this week, as a number of you have been sending in recordings. And listen, we really appreciate that, because, you know, hearing from you is what it's all about. So Julie Rodaway has been in touch again. Good old Julie. She's back with us. And she has been telling us about a new battery charger that's accessible.
I know that power banks are nothing new these days, but not many, if any, talk. That is until I came across the iWalk 10,000 Secretary Power Bank. This I got from Guiding Lights of America for $75 more with shipping, and it came the other day, and I would like to talk about it now. Now, size-wise, I'd say it's a little bit like the size of a very small pocket radio, a small transistor radio. Extremely compact, so easy to shove into a rucksack or a bag. No weight at all, really. On the charger itself, there are two integrated cables, one micro USB cable and one lightning cable, so no worrying about carrying extra cables around when you need to charge something. There is also a USB socket on the charger to insert any other cable you like, below which there is a micro USB port you need to charge the charger itself. And as soon as you do this, it audibly thanks you for charging it and tells you in how many hours it needs to charge. From completely deplete, it takes about 5 hours, and it will tell you so. And as soon as it's charged, it will tell you that it's charged, so you can disconnect it from the wall socket and you're free to use it. There's also an integrated speaker on the charger, and there is a little power button to the right of the USB port. That's all that is as far as controls go. Now, when you've done using the power bank, you don't have to worry about switching itself off, because it goes to sleep after a couple of minutes of inactivity, so it thus conserves battery power. So I'm going to switch the power bank on in a minute, and I'll just grab a cable first. So I've got my cable ready to charge the device I want to charge, but I'll switch it on, hold it down for 3 seconds, and let it go.
I am your secretary.
Oh, are you now? Okay, so it's now waiting for me to do something. So, if it doesn't, it'll shout at me.
Your device is connected.
Okay, so that's what happens when you charge a device. Now, the thing I like about this, you know, is when the device you're charging is fully charged, it'll audibly tell you. So, you know, your device is fully charged, ready to go. And I like that. I really find that very, very useful indeed. And I also like the fact that it tells you that the power bank is charged itself. So that's it then. The iWalk 10,000 Secretary, a very, very useful device indeed.
Well, thank you, Julia. Do you know, that sounds brilliant and very real kind of voice, not just your usual charging, you know, or, you know, connected. You know, it seems quite human in a way. I like that.
I gotta say, I want one of those, right? Let me get that out of the way. It sounds fantastic, but did it sound slightly weird to anyone else, that thanking you for charging it up and all that? It sounds a bit quirky, but, oh, fantastic bit of kit.
And like that bit of exasperation sound when she plugged it into the device. It's fantastic and creepy all at the same time. I want one. I'm not sure about $75 US. I get you're paying for the voice, and that's really the major point there. You can get a similar thing for probably half of that without a voice. But to have that voice technology in there so that you know what's going on, I mean, it's hard to put a price on that. So, I mean, it does sound expensive, but at the same time, it may be well worth it. But yeah, fantastic and creepy, but very good find.
I like fun technology, you know, and I like that they've put a bit of effort into it rather than just the usual. I like that. No, that was brilliant, Julie. Thank you so much for sharing that. If you have a piece of tech that you've bought recently or that you want to share, and it doesn't have to be phones or tablets, we want to talk about other stuff as well. So if you have got something in mind that you use, maybe something that you've bought that you use every day that maybe isn't accessible, but you've found a way to make it accessible, or that it just happens to, by its very nature, be accessible to you, then do tell us. Now, you can record like Julie does in her... Well, Julie's actually got a proper setup at home, but I think a lot of people are using phones, and I always encourage that. If you've got your smartphone there, go into the app and record, you know, on an iPhone, it's voice memos. You can download lots of different ones for the Android. Samsung phones, for example, have got, you know, Easy Recorder built in, and I'm sure the others have got the same. So just check your phone for a recorder, and then email your recording to us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Okay, speaking of emails.
Email, we get email, we get your email every day.
Ding dong.
Here's your mail today.
Right, let's get right into the first email. Oh, just a complaint. Typical.
Another one?
Another one, that's two this week. We must be getting popular. Yes. Right. Simon Powell, who is a long lover of this show, has got in touch. Now, I will say, just so you guys know, I'm not reading these this week. I'm just summarising them. So just be aware of that, because I'm sorry, but the headaches are just too severe. I can't do it. I read Matthew Clark's email last week, or a week before, and that's put me out, actually, I think, for the next few
you've
months.
You've broken Stephen, Matthew.
Yeah, you've broken me, Matthew. But basically, Simon's got in touch to say that he's been listening to the show for a long time, and he feels the format's changed a little bit to basically us just talking nonsense. And he'd like to hear more features. He'd like to hear more kind of how-tos and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I tend to agree with Simon on that one, I think, actually. I think
absolutely.
We probably should. And actually, I think you saying that, Simon, has kind of prompted us to think that way, because, you know, we have a good time, we talk a lot, and we get lots of great feedback. But, you know, if people don't tell us what they like or dislike, then we won't know.
No, I think it's a very fair point. And we have had discussions about this ourselves as well. It's just a case of finding the time to create them. I've got a list here of of features I want to do. I haven't forgotten Sheila's Audacity one. I'm waiting on Stephen to send me some audio to help me with that, but I won't throw him under the bus live on air, but I'm waiting on Stephen.
I think you just did.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point, and it's something we are aware of, and we will try and do more.
No, absolutely. I think it's a really fair point that we've gotten away from, but we've gotten so comfortable just talking nonsense, as he said, and you know, we're good at that. But
well, in fairness, talking around technology, haven't we? We talk around it, and that, yeah, it is nonsense. Yeah,
nonsense is a little bit harsh,
but no, I think it is a fair point, and we definitely will work on that.
Simon's email's lovely, actually. He says, you know, after 37 years of shows, I think he's kidding. Well, it just feels like that. But he says, after all these years of shows and doing what you're doing, he says, you know, I love the show. He said, and to be honest, I don't think there's enough audio you could produce. But one point he did make was about extra features on the podcast as well. Now, that's an interesting one. He said you often do these features and then release them separately, and I think he's building up a dossier against us. What I would say is that, you know, I would like to get back to that and add more features to the podcast as well. But there are lots more on there. Check them out, because, you know, everybody on the RNIB Connect radio team do it. So, you know, everyone's adding in content all the time. Do check it out on the podcast, Simon. Just keep flicking down the list and hopefully you'll find more that intrigue you there. And we'll do better, you know. But time is always against us. That's our problem.
We will try.
Yeah, we certainly will. Right, let's go on to another email. Kelly Muggeridge has been in touch. And got to say, really impressive email from Kelly, because she's bought herself an Apple Watch. Hooray! Yay!
Oh, good. Well done.
Is this her fault? Have we done this?
Maybe.
We caused this. Right. So Tim and I have both got Apple Watches. Kelly bought an Apple Watch, and she's really impressed by it. She went into the store, she got it set up for her, which was fantastic. She also said that they set up the Activity app, which I know is something Kelly had mentioned before in previous emails. So she's really pleased that she's managed to do that, and that she's using it and she's loving it.
Good.
Finding the gestures quite easy as well, which is important. But she'd mentioned about the rotor gesture on the iPhone, and she says she's having problems with it. She says she's finding difficulty in using it. I've got to say, I have mixed feelings on this one, because I do use the rotor a lot more than I ever did, because I now see the benefit of it. You know, things like selecting text is one. It's a bit fiddly to do, but it is doable. But I wonder what you guys think of it. What do you think of the rotor generally each day? Do you use it much?
I think it's essential. I use it all the time. People do seem to have difficulties with performing the gesture. I just imagine it as an invisible dial on the screen and turn the dial. I don't really have an issue with it, but I know people do.
I've talked to many people that have an issue with it, but I've talked to just as many people that don't, maybe even more. It just depends on how comfortable you are using the gesture, which fingers you use. I used to try to use my thumb and forefinger. That didn't work because I don't think the side of my thumb was really getting it properly. I tried to use my forefinger and middle finger. That didn't work because my middle finger is so much longer than my forefinger. I actually use, believe it or not, my forefinger and my ring finger to turn the dial, and that works for me. So it's just a matter of finding the right way. I know some people actually, I don't know how they do this, but they'll hold their phone in both hands and use their forefinger, pointer finger with both hands, you know, one finger, you know, on each hand, and do it that way. But whatever works for you is going to be the best way, of course. But it's tricky, because you're right, Stephen. I think some people have trouble, some people don't, but it's so essential. I use it constantly in mail, on the internet, surfing, you know, the web and Safari, everywhere, anywhere that I can flick down or up and get headings or words, letters, whatever it might be that I'm switching between, I'm constantly using the rotor.
This is one thing that I think Android have got better, actually, because they use the sort of down and left or down and right gesture. So you would sort of pull down and then right, or pull down and then left, and that would give you other menus. I think that's much more effective. But what they do actually on Android, which I think is quite good, is it brings up a list of what you might be looking for. So characters, words, lines, whatever. Or if you're on a website, headings, lists, links. And you can just select it and then go and just, as you say, just flick down to find it. I think that's a better way of doing it. The way this works with this kind of constant, it feels like I'm trying to screw something in every yes. time I'm looking for something. I always sort of look as if I'm trying to screw a nail through my foot, or a screw even through my phone. Which just is a bit silly, and it can't be good for people who've got motor issues, or people who might be older who have trouble with that, you know, difficulty with touchscreens anyway. So I think they could maybe do better.
Yeah, I've often thought that they could maybe have an alternative to the rotor. If they don't change it completely, just make an alternative, like you just said, for somebody that has you know, motor skill issues or something like that, where it's difficult for them to do the gesture and perform it. I don't know that I completely agree with you that Androids is a better way, because you've got to know that gesture, get into that menu, select what you want, and then do it. I've just gotten so used to using the rotor and switching between things. It's also helpful to go into the rotor settings and set the exact things that you want to be in the rotor. So there's things in there that you don't want to ever use or don't think you're ever going to use. Take them out, you know, remove them. You can do that from the rotor and put them in different orders so you have it ordered in the exact way that you want it to be. That's extremely helpful and makes it go so much faster. But you know, back to them doing something alternatively, I really wish Apple would do something else. I don't know what that would be. You know, we don't have, you know, like she says in the email, there's no digital crown on the iPhone to where you could just turn a knob or something to make it work. Maybe there'd be a way that they could, I don't know, you go into a certain thing and use the volume controls to get into the rotor. I don't know. But there could be something else they could do.
Well, Kelly, I hope that helps in some way. You know, you're not alone in finding some challenge with it, but, you know, something you might need to just persevere with until Apple fix it or change it or whatever, or delete it.
It does take practice, I will say that. You know, just keep practicing it, and I think you will get. I'm wondering if there's a workaround in the, is it called assistive touch, where you get a virtual home button? There may be a workaround there. I will have a look in that after.
Oh, yeah, that's possible, yep.
That's interesting. Right, okay. Well, there you go. You can sort that out then for next week, Sean. Fantastic. Right. Well, listen, we are out because that's us. We are out of time. But just a quick note to say hello to Gary Price, who emailed as well. He has done a review of a Speak-On Media Suite for the computer that he wanted to share with us. So looking forward to hearing that next week on the show. Plus lots of your emails as well. Keep them coming. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Check out the podcast by searching on whatever device you use. RNIB Tech Talk. Search for that in your podcast app. Thanks so much for listening. And Tim and Sean, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you.